everybody. Welcome to the Spotlight with Timo. This is a special section called Unsung Artists Through the Ages. I am your host, Fatima, and we will be talking about Joseph Bologne, a French black composer, fencer, and violinist. He is noted as the first classical composer of African ancestry. Stay tuned, because we're going to be having an interview with a modern composer and professor, Dr. James Lee III. So sit back and enjoy a historical lesson with yours truly, Timo. Nicholas T. Reinhardt, a music theorist, in his article Black Beethoven in the Radical Politics of Music History, noted that the practice of recording the name of black musicians as a black version of their white counterparts is undeniably insulting because it erases the name and life's work of a black man and replaces it with those of a white man. I personally believe that the use of the term Black Mozart was created to repopularize Bologne's works when his music popularity declined in 1799. However, let's talk about Joseph Bologne not as a Black Mozart, but instead as a great contributor to classical music and black culture in his own right. How did Joseph Bologne get his name? You guys all might be wondering, because most people actually call him Chevalier de Saint-Georges and not as his birth name, Joseph Bologne. There is some dissent on how Joseph Bologne received his title, the Chevalier de Saint-Georges, that he is so famous for. Some historians believe the name came from King Louis XV when he named him Gardame du Roi, after recognizing him as a skilled fencer. Others believe the name came as a result of his father. Because black people could not hold titles in France, he made up one for his son. Who's to say which is the true reason he got the name Chevalier, but the Saint George definitely came from his father. Joseph Bologne was a son of Georges de Bologne, a French colonial planter and Anne Nanon, a Senegalese slave. He was born in 1745 in the island of Guadeloupe. As a result of being George's only son, he was treated as part of the family. Despite that, it is still clear in Guadeloupe that he was not equal to that of his white family counterparts. This is stated in an incident described in Odette Nice's 1972. One day, as Joseph tried to prevent a white planter from whipping an enslaved African, he himself received a lash. The story continues when he goes to his mother in tears. It was there she reminded him that he would always be the son of an enslaved African. He was caught between two worlds. The life of his father offered a life of minor aristocracy, and the life of his mother was that of a slave who was seen as less than human. At a young age, Joseph Bologne was sent to France, where he was trained in aristocracy. It was there that he learned fencing and violin. He became favored by the royal court when King Louis XV, aka Louis the Beloved, before the Bad King, recognized his amazing fencing skills. In 1764, when Bologne was 17, he became an officer of the King's Guard. He was considered a violin virtuoso by the age of 25. So he became the music director of Concert des Amateurs in 1773, only 1 year later. Within 2 years of becoming music director, he produced 8 violin concerts and 2 symphonies concertantes. According to the music almanac of the time, Concert des Amateurs became the best orchestra for symphonies in Paris and perhaps in Europe by 1975. In 1976, Bologne worked at becoming the director of the Paris Opera, which is essentially like the major theater of New York at this time. Since he was favored by the king and because of his well-acclaimed skills, he was the first choice for the role. However, the opera's 3 leading divas petitioned the queen that they could never submit to the order of a mulatto. So he was denied, even though there was no one else qualified for the position. They took no one instead of him. Despite that open denial because of racism, he still continued to write 7 operas in his life. During his years at the court, Balagne was seen as a ladies' man. He was deemed attractive, athletic, and a wonderful dancer, and he was also rising in popularity. So he was very popular with the ladies. Despite this fact, he could not get married because of his status as a black man. He did find love, though, with Marie Joseph, who was already married to someone else. When his son was born, Marie Joseph's husband ordered the child to be neglected so it could die. Joseph Balagne was a wonderful musician, but he was also a man fighting for change within his own country. He was openly for anti-slavery movement, and he joined a French group in England called Société des Amis des Noirs, a Society of the Friends of Black People. On a dark evening in January 1790, when he was scheduled to perform in England, he was robbed with a pistol. After he fought off the robber, he was attacked by 4 men, and he was also able to fight them off. Again, he was a master swordsman. Some believe that he was attacked because he supported the liberation of slaves and it irritated Britain's slave cartels. In 1789, 10 years before his death, Joseph Balagne joined the French Revolution in hopes that it may lead to the abolishment of slavery. He joined the ranks of Marquis de Lafayette's National Guard. A year later, he was selected as captain to 1,000 black soldiers in a light cavalry unit called St. George Legion, defending the revolution. During this time leading the light cavalry unit, he still wrote music and hosted fencing demonstrations. It was during that time that he wrote Guillaume Tout Coeur, or Les Amis de Village, or William All Heart, or The Village Friends. While he wrote music during this time, he attempted to distance himself from his original presence in the monarchy by signing letters and music as Saint George or just George. During the Reign of Terror of France, the revolutionists were in suspicion of anyone tied to the royal court. And even though Balagne fought for the revolution, he was still captured as a suspicious person in 1793, just 6 years before his death, because he worked for the royal court. He stayed in prison for 1 year. As a result of his time in jail and his realization that the new revolution had no intention of ending slavery, he left the war effort. He continued playing violin after he left the military, despite health issues of the stomach, either a bladder infection or cancer. Many say that he played at his most beautiful before his death. He died of an untreated bladder infection, destitute and alone, in Paris in 1799. After his death, he fell in deeper obscurity. His music was burned and lost during the years of unrest after the revolution. Only about half of his music survived the French Revolution and the descent thereafter. During Napoleon's regime, Balagne's music was banned from being performed. Though he had a sad ending, this is not a sad story. Joseph Balagne was a man of mystery and strength. He fought for the king and for the revolution. He created virtuosic music that inspires people to this day. And most importantly, he is no longer forgotten. 200 years after St. George's death, his music and story is being recognized. I challenge each and every one of my listeners to listen to his music, and if you are a musician, to play his pieces, so we can do our part to remember this legendary man. Okay, y'all, it's time for the interview. So, we're going to be interviewing Dr. James Lee III so we can get some insight on how a composer feels and about Joseph Bologna and what his inspirations may be as a result of Joseph Bologna's music. So, Dr. James Lee III is a professor of music theory and composition. He is also an accomplished pianist and composer. He's won several awards for his prowess in composition, including the 2001 Emerging African American Composers Competition Series and Vladimir and Rodo LeConte Award for the American Academy of Arts and Letters in New York City. Not only that, he's also one of my favorite professors at Morgan State University. Don't tell nobody. So let's see how Joseph Bologna has affected the life of a modern day classical composer. I just want to ask you, because I know you're the one who introduced me to Joseph Bologna. I didn't really know anything about him before music history class last semester. So what about Joseph Bologna's work appeals to you?
Well, I mean, one thing that I enjoy with him, you know, he lived at a time where it was basically the universal language. So you don't really hear, like, you might not even know that it's Joseph Bologna, or as they call him, Chevalier de Saint-Georges, you might not even know that it was a person of color who composed. You might think it's Mozart or Haydn, someone from that period. But I was talking with the violinist friend, and she was actually telling me how she thought that even some of his cadenzas and like the violin concertos were longer and more involved than even Mozart's cadenzas. That perhaps Mozart might have been influenced by some of what he did.
Oh, that's really interesting. I've never thought about that. I find his music to sound slightly more modern. I'm singing a song by him currently from one of his operas, Ernestine, and I think that it sounds a lot more modern. Like, it doesn't sound like early classical to me. So.
Yeah, I don't know that work as much, but yeah, I can see that some of his when you hear like the violin concertos and he might have a few harmonies that might be a little more forward thinking than some of the triadic or seventh chord that you might hear common in the 18th century counterpoint style.
Okay, so what is your favorite piece from Joseph Bologna?
Oh, I like the violin concertos. I mean, I heard like there's one in G major that I really like, and then a symphony that I was listening to, even some of it today, you know, in G major. Those, you know, with the violin solo, it's nice to be able to hear what is possible on the instrument. And I think that he was able to really execute what he was trying to communicate in that time with the resources that he had. And the kind of exposure that he would get as a composer of color.
Okay. Is there anything, you being a composer, is there anything about Joseph Bologna's work that influenced you?
Maybe, if anything, I might think about his use of like motivic, like using various motives and developing those, like these small little units of sound and rhythm that he would use that influenced me in my own music.
Yeah. Okay. So, with your experience as a Black History music professor, why do you think his music has been forgotten in the past, and why is it becoming more popular now?
Sometimes with some composers, it's really, some composers of color in the past has been difficult to obtain some of the scores. So sometimes some of the music is not as readily available, not as readily published. So I think that now, with the emphasis on social justice and kind of rectifying some wrongs and biases that have been happening in classical music in the past, I think there's now is a time where orchestras or other organizations and performers are seeking out music by composers of color like Joseph Bologna or even like Florence Price from the 20th century. just trying to rediscover some works that have been long forgotten. And again, talking to one of my friends, she's a violinist, and she was able to look at some of the older scores and manuscripts at a museum in France. Because, you know, unfortunately, some of these works aren't, like, I have a difficult time trying to find some scores of the music, you know. So that's another issue, availability of the music in print.
I personally had that experience. I'm trying to find Ernestine. Trying to find any of his vocal music was very difficult. And when I finally was able to find a song to even that was recorded, they were like, "Well, just go, you know, call the the National Library of France of Paris, and you can get a copy." And I was like, "I don't know how that's gonna work." But so this can be very difficult to find these pieces. I definitely know from experience as well.
But how did you end up finding it?
I was really lucky. I just searched all the YouTube videos, and there's a woman who did it for her senior recital. And she commented on someone saying how she found it, because just looking online, and it was very difficult. So I was able to find it on Sheet Music Plus, which was very, very lucky. So just that song, no other of his vocal music. It's probably you have to contact the Library of Paris to get the other music. Which I speak a little French, but I don't know if I can have a whole conversation. When I was doing research on his life, I actually learned a lot about the controversy almost about his name being changed to Black Mozart, saying that it devalues his work and the efforts that he put in, especially since he was famous in France before Mozart even came to France. So do you have any idea or any commentary about what that name does, or if you care much about the idea?
Yeah, what happens, yeah, when people kind of give you these alternate names like that, then I really see it as devaluing the art of the particular composer. Like in teaching history of Black music, there's a soprano that her name is Elizabeth Taylor Greenfield. And she was sometimes called the Black Jenny Lind. You know, you have these names that don't really give, I don't really recognize the artists for who they are and their own contributions, but compare them to another composer or performer as if they are less than.
Now, a lot of people have been saying the reason why that came about was more to promote his music, but it kind of had a reverse effect where you're not valuing him for his work, you're valuing him for saying he's like someone else's work. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. One more thing I was interested in. So when did you first hear about Joseph Balogh's music, and what was that like?
Oh, I can't even remember. It's been a long time. I was probably when I was a student at the University of Michigan.
Oh.
I don't think I heard about him much before. I transferred from another university to the University of Michigan, and it was probably when I was there that I heard about him. But I think I heard about him as Chevalier de Saint-Georges first.
Okay.
And then referred to as the Black Mozart.
I had never heard from him about him in undergrad. And one of my main issues, I had a wonderful music history teacher in my undergrad, but I didn't learn about any Black composers until we hit ragtime. And I feel like that's a huge issue. And it happens a lot in all schools, especially PWIs. And I feel like Joseph Balogh's name, maybe he shouldn't specifically be talked about, but it should give people ideas that Black musicians were not only ragtime and jazz musicians. That is not when Black musicians started to make music. So, interesting.
Yeah, he's older than William Grant Still. I mean, William Grant Still was writing, he wrote his first symphony in 1931. So ragtime predates that. But then there's still others like Francis Johnson, who was a band leader. So yeah, there's plenty to talk about, but they're not always, like you said, because there's like this conception that you want to just brand Black composers to a certain style without realizing that they've been involved writing instrumental music for strings for a long time, or even wind music that is not necessarily always dance music.
And performers too, lots of famous performers. You said you spoke of Elizabeth Taylor Greenfield. So yeah. Okay, I just wanted to have a little talk with you about different ideas. Thank you for having this little short interview with me. I definitely appreciate it, Dr. Lee.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You're welcome.
And you will see it on the podcast when you watch it.
Okay.
Okay.
And when are you publishing your podcast?
This episode will be posted tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's going to have a lot of more... a lot more information about Joseph Bologna. Maybe some stuff you've never even heard. So
okay.
I'm not going to give away anything.
Okay.
Okay. Bye, Dr. Lee.
Bye-bye.
Okay, guys. If you want to learn more about Joseph Bologna, otherwise known as Chevalier de Saint George, check out the article Joseph Bologna, The Chevalier de Saint George and the Problem with Black Mozart, written by Julian A. Ledford. Or, if you're like one of my friends and don't like to read things, I quote, "You want me to read an article? Ugh." Check out this documentary called Composers of Color from the Brattleboro Music Center. If you want an in-depth read, check out The Chevalier de Saint George, Virtuoso of the Sword and Bow by Gabriel Bonnat. Or if it's French, it's probably Bonnat. It's a really great book that goes deeply into all aspects of his life. So, I hope you learned something about Chevalier de Saint George. If someone brings up the Black Mozart to you, I want to hear you proudly say, "Don't you mean Mozart was a Black Chevalier de Saint George?" No. Don't really say that, y'all. Just, I hope you learned something about this man who was renowned in his own right. Stay tuned next month for a look at another unsung artist. Thanks for listening and giving these unsung artists the spotlight in Spotlight with Timo. Bye, y'all.